Well, most people focus on the Royals or the Chiefs when they think about Kansas City sports teams, but professional soccer team Sporting KC is actually the closest to winning a championship out of all of our teams right now. On Saturday, Sporting will host Real Salt Lake at Sporting Park for the MLS Cup. It's the first time a championship game has been played in Kansas City, and if Sporting wins, it'll be their first title since 2000 when they were still known as the Wizards. Joining us now to size up the teams are Greg Eklund. He's KCUR sports reporter. And Greg, always good to have you.
Thanks, Steve.
Brian Dunseth is also here. He's the color analyst for Real Salt Lake, and he joins us this morning from Salt Lake City. Brian, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing well. Thanks for joining us, Brian. Well, Graham Parker wrote in Grantland that the rivalry between Real Salt Lake and Sporting KC is the most interesting rivalry in the MLS. Can you talk about that, Brian, and why this rivalry is so hot and why it's become so interesting?
Yeah, it really started a couple preseasons ago. Real Salt Lake was preparing for their run in the CONCACAF Champions League, and they were kind of in that final push towards winning what is considered the region of CONCACAF to represent CONCACAF in the FIFA Club World Cup. And in those preparations, they actually scheduled a friendly against Sporting KC. The game ended up being rough and tumble. There was a fisticuffs between the two teams, and it kind of set the tone going forward. Since then, you've got two teams that are very similar, yet very, very different in the way they approach the game. Both teams like to really strangle their opponents through possession. Both teams are extremely unapologetic for the style and the physicality on the defensive side of the ball.
Brian, when you say they like to strangle their opponents through possession, what do you mean by that for those of us who aren't soccer educated?
Yeah, they just like to keep the ball. You know, they like to move the ball. They like to keep possession. They don't force it. They don't look to just kick the ball up and over the top and try to, you know, just get in behind and compress the field. They're two teams that really, really, truly try to keep the ball and build through passing and moving and being truly fluid through the midfield. Not a lot of teams are like that. And these two teams love to do that. They love to build up. They love the aesthetic side of the game.
Greg Eklund, is this the best rivalry in the MLS right now?
Well, I can't speak to all the rivalries around the league, but they played each other only once this season. Sporting won that match 2-1. It was in the middle of July, and it was in Salt Lake.
It was hot that day.
It was hot that day, mm-hmm. and I could tell you just from their most recent match that, despite all the comments publicly that they make, that behind the scenes, I don't think these teams like each other too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty clear, you think?
I think it is pretty clear.
Brian, are the play styles of Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake that different? I mean, you know, Real Salt Lake's general manager has made some pretty tough criticisms of Sporting, saying they just want to go out and kick people. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think Peter Vermes from Sporting Kansas City, the players are again, pretty unapologetic for their style. And that style is, they like to push up high. They like to defend far away from their goal. They like to recover the ball as quickly as they can when they turn it over. And that's a very physical aspect of the game. I think offensively, these are two teams that are very, very similar. Their structure, the formations, while different, are very, very similar in what they try to achieve in the attack.
Brian,
and again, it makes it for some great soccer.
Brian, does Sporting KC have something of a reputation as being, you know, overly aggressive, to put it nicely?
I think they do outside of Sporting Kansas City, but that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. You know, when you have that type of intimidating nature, I think it builds in kind of the aura of you know, what the team tries to accomplish, and ultimately, you know, I think it's an intimidation factor, and absolutely, I would agree with anyone that outside of Sporting Kansas City, those guys, they like to get stuck in. They like to get, you know, hard tackling. They like the physicality of the game. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
So they don't cross the line, you're not suggesting?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm a former center back, and I love getting into the hard tackle or going up in the air and, you know, just slamming into people. I think it's going to be know, for the first 15 minutes, really a demolition derby in the midfield. And I think once the game settles in a little bit, I think you're going to see two teams that try to keep the ball and, you know, aesthetically play the game the right way.
Well, speaking of getting into it, you know, back in July, the last time, Greg, you just pointed out these two teams met, Real Salt Lake's defender Chris Wingert got a yellow card for decking Sporting's Kai Kamara 5 seconds into the match. I mean, 5 seconds, and I watched it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Doesn't that show that Real Salt Lake is pretty aggressive, too? Because it sure looked that way to me.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, I think so. And it was funny. I think, you know, when you have two teams that don't like each other, you've got guys that try to set the tone for the match early. And Chris Wingert was very fortunate not to get sent off. That ball was nowhere near Kai Kamara.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Kai anywhere close to it. I watched it last night. To me, my jaw about dropped. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those headhunter moments where he really got away with it. And I think it was, if it was any other stage of the game, he probably would have was sent off immediately. I think what was fortunate and played in the favor of Chris Wingert was, like you said, it was really the first ball up over the top, and it was less than a minute in. That's probably where he got away from it.
Well, again, it was 5 seconds in, and you think he was just trying to send a message to Sporting KC that, hey, we're going to, you know, match you aggressive style for aggressive style here today.
Yeah, again, I think there's still a lot of players that were on that field in Arizona a couple years ago. And again, you've got two former players and head coaches now. Both are their teams are very similar in the style in which they played as professional players. And again, I love it. I love the rivalry. I love the trash talk. I think it makes for a great final for two clubs that play and approach the game the right way.
Let me see if we can get our listeners to chime in here about what they're looking forward to seeing on Saturday. 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, up to date at kcur.org, or you can also tweet us at kcur up to date, Greg.
And yeah. Brian mentioned Kai Kamara. Of course, Kai is
no longer here.
Not with the team anymore. He was on his way to becoming the team's leading scorer after he returned, and he's been a scoring machine when he was in Kansas City, but the makeup of the team is a little bit different this time around, with Kai Kamara no longer around, and you got guys like Graham Zuzi who have become the scorers for the team.
You know, Kai Kamara was such a peach. I mean, he lived in my neighborhood and walked down the street occasionally, and of course the first time my then 12-year-old saw Kai Kamara, he about fell all over himself. And you know, late at night, Kai's walking his dog, and my son runs up, and he was very nice. He posed for some pictures, and you know, the other kids began gathering around, and he couldn't have been nicer. And I hated to see him leave because he was such a great guy.
But I think the thing that Kai did at that time is really symptomatic of this team. They're very engaging with the public in general.
Does Greg Eklund, does one of these teams control the momentum going into the championship match this weekend?
Oh, I don't know. With 2 weeks off since their last match, I'm not sure if there's any kind of momentum.
Why
set
2 weeks
from
off? Why that much time?
Well, you know, a lot of it is build up to the MLS Cup, and then of course you have international matches that took place that were they after the semis of the conference that they had to take some time, and some guys took off for some international teams play.
Mm-hmm.
So between all those factors, I'm not sure if momentum is really a factor in this case. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think the pressure's on Sporting Kansas City. I think what they've done since the rebrand, and you guys just talked about Kai Kamara and how important the players have been in the community. Kai's a great friend of mine. My former college roommate actually represents him as an agent and actually got that deal done over to Middlesbrough. I think for Sporting Kansas City, the pressure's on because it's such a great atmosphere at Sporting Park. You know, Blue Hell and the supporters group in the Cauldron have created such an intimidating atmosphere. But I agree with you guys. I've been saying this all along. With Kai Kamara being sold, not only did you lose your starter and one of your most athletic players on the field, but you also lost your first substitution off the bench because you have to replace him. I don't think without Kai Kamara on the field, by losing him, I don't think Sporting Kansas City in the attack, outside of Graham Zusi, has anyone that really intimidates you as an opponent. But at the same time, I think that's what the Houston Dynamo were thinking when Sporting Kansas City brushed them aside to make it to the final. I think the pressure's on Sporting Kansas City because they're at home, because they want to cap off a great year.
Yeah.
for Real Salt Lake. I think they're going to come in and play the style the way they always do, which is that diamond formation in the midfield. And I don't think anything changes for either team. I think it's really going to come down to the referee. If he sets the tone with an early yellow card, and what that means for, you know, either team or for the individual player, how he changes his approach to the game after that.
We're talking about the MLS Cup match coming up this weekend between Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake City, taking place again here at the Sporting KC Park out at the out west in Wyandotte County there, and it's going to be packed, right, Greg?
It's going to be packed, and Brian mentioned the word intimidating. It is potentially intimidating because it gets loud in there, and the crowd is right on top of you. But as they've shown this year, Sporting Kansas City is not invincible at home. They've lost some home matches, and I think one of the factors that Brian mentioned with the loss of Kai Kamara is sometimes Sporting Kansas City has been in a position to score and just hasn't been able to finish it off, and it ended up costing them in a couple of matches.
And Kai might have helped with that.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, Brian, why is there this match taking place on a home field here for a championship like this? Why not a neutral field?
Yeah, that's been historically what's gone on, and it's what it is basically MLS trying to reward teams that have had the consistency and the success during the season. I think a lot of these smaller market teams, and I use that word with a lot of respect because I've seen it up close and personal here in Salt Lake, there's a philosophy in the smaller markets where, you know, these clubs, in particular Sporting Kansas City and Real Salt Lake, have adopted the mentality of trophies over friendlies. You see a lot of New York Red Bulls and the LA Galaxy, Seattle Sounders. They want to bring in the Manchester Uniteds or the Real Madrids or the Barcelonas, and they want to create this whole atmosphere for their fans and set unrealistic expectations. Where I think Jason Christ and Real Salt Lake and Peter Vermes and Sporting Kansas City have said publicly to their fans that we would rather win the Open Cup. We would rather win the MLS Cup trophy. We would rather be the best team over the course of the season as opposed to bringing you these one-off fluff games. And yeah. I think that's what it shows. I love it, and I think what it does is it puts more of an onus on teams having success and having the stability over the course of the season, and then rewarding them with home field advantage.
Again, Brian Dunseth is a color analyst for Real Salt Lake, and there was some controversy not long ago because some Salt Lake fans got a hold of a pre-ticket sale code and bought nearly 1,000 tickets that weren't supposed to go to them, Brian. Why do they do that, and were they just trying to get under people's skins out here, or what happened?
No, it's the power of social media. I've long argued that soccer fans are probably the most aggressive on social media because they have to be. It is actually between Twitter and Instagram and all of this fanfare. It has created a bond among supporters, and I think a growth that's much, much different than baseball, football, you know, basketball. Because fans have to actually search for their information. What basically went down was a Ticketmaster code was shared via social media and Twitter. It went out early. Tickets were purchased. Fans legitimately had money taken out of their personal accounts and transferred to Ticketmaster. And after their tickets were confirmed, they ended up buying airplane tickets and hotel rooms. After that, Ticketmaster voided the sale. And unfortunately for RSL fans, who maybe a few were trying to jump the gun and maybe some didn't even realize it, they just kind of came across it on Twitter, they unfortunately, guys lost a lot of money. And I'm interested to see what happens. I don't think it was malicious on anyone's end. I don't think you can really truly hold anyone accountable for something like that. I think maybe the positive out of that is that we've seen a kind of this appetite continue to grow for supporting soccer in the United States, and that's a positive.
So, Brian, you're saying that people out there actually bought tickets and then they had them taken away? Am I following you right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
That's exactly
wow.
what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's, you know, I'm wondering, and this is me stepping out of my own bounds, but I'm wondering if in a lawsuit area, if I know I've heard people kind of trying to figure out how to get their money back, because absolutely money was exchanged hands. And it's just unfortunate all the way around. But again, it puts more of an onus on the team and the players to have success during the regular season.
Well, Greg Eklund, speaking of getting under fans' skins, it's going to be mighty cold in Kansas City on Saturday. Maybe Salt Lake players are used to this, but the high is forecast to be 21 degrees. Do temps like that affect these players?
Well, I would say that question probably needs to be addressed to Brian, because he's been the one who has been on the field. Brian, what is it like playing in those kinds of temperatures?
Yeah, it's actually 11 degrees here in Salt Lake City this morning. So, guys, I think they'll be prepared for it. I think if anything, you just have to focus on your warm-up quite a bit more to make sure that you're not pulling muscles, because that first 15, 20 minutes, you're getting acclimated to the speed of play and the physicality of the game. Mm-hmm. But I think these are two teams that have played in cold weather before, so I don't think that's the last thing on their minds.
Are there tickets available, Greg?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't I can't confirm whether there are or not, but I would imagine that if they're not sold out by now, that they soon will be.
But it sounds like it's going to be a heck of a game.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great match and a great atmosphere and a lot of fun. There's no and Brian had mentioned about how soccer has been a hotbed for social media, and I think the Sporting has recognized that, mm-hmm. and that's one of the reasons why Sporting Kansas City has implanted itself as one of the important franchises in Kansas City is its ability to use the social media.
I'm told that it is sold out, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, guys, what I've been telling people is not ideal. The secondary market, there are tickets available.
All right.
So if you are searching for tickets, places like StubHub, you can find some tickets.
Well, Brian, get used to hearing this week. And again, that's Brian Dunsap. He's a color analyst for Real Salt Lake. Brian, thanks so much. We sure appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
And Greg Eklund is KCUR sports reporter. Greg, thanks to you, too.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Tomorrow on the show, renowned historian Doris Kearns Goodwin joins us, plus Brian McTavish is back with the weekend to-do list. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Cody Newell. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.